Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Fat Mascara fam.
Fam.
I'm trying it out. I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
We have an awesome episode this. I mean, we say that every time, but truly, this is a good one. Especially the segments, because I went all the way to Japan to do some beauty scouting, and I'm bringing back news, and you will hear it first, I promise, because I've not seen a lot of this reported on. Then, you might have heard, there's this girl named Gigi Hadid. You might have heard of her. She's got a Maybelline collab, whatever. We have thoughts. Last topic we're going to touch on is millennial pink. It's over. There's a new shade in town. Stay tuned and we'll tell you what it is.
And if you're even thinking about working in the beauty industry, beauty, fashion, the whole crazy thing, listen up. We have some incredible advice from Daniel Weiner. He works at Streeters, which is the global management agency. Stay tuned. Wow, Jen. It's like I can't keep up with where in the world you are.
Where
in the world is Jennifer Goldstein?
Konnichiwa. I bring you greetings from Japan. I'm just back now.
Are you wearing a kimono right now?
Oh my gosh, I am. It's not from Japan.
Goes to Japan once.
Yes. I went there for a Dior skincare summit, which was very summity. It was about 198 Asian beauty journalists and me. But it was really cool. But I did a lot of shopping while I was there.
Okay.
So I want to fill in everybody on like the latest trends in Japan.
I've never been to Japan. Like, is it really like a beauty playground, beauty Wonkaville, Wonkaland?
Yes, but trends there are so apparent because like a large swath of the population will do a look at once. So just really briefly, there is this chestnut colored hair thing happening there. It's like, it almost looks like a wig. It's like an auburn, but almost brownish. And every girl had that with like thick cut bangs. And then a lot of the girls were doing blush higher up on the cheekbone and further back towards the ear. Like a little round, like instead of the apples,
yeah,
like behind the apple.
But was it blended beautifully or was it kind of graphic?
Beautiful. It looked really like I think you more like you look when you're blushing.
Is this something that we should try?
Maybe. What we definitely should try is these two products I brought back for you. I have treats.
You always bring me back souvenirs.
Okay, here's the first.
I'm not as good about that. I need to really get some manners.
Big news.
What is this?
It's a cut spray. Have you ever heard of that?
That sounds painful.
No, it's a sunscreen spray. It's an open it up.
Wow,
it's
okay.
An aerosol sunscreen spray. So obviously we know Asia does sunscreens really well. They have access to ingredients we don't have here in the United States.
Thank you. First of all, I didn't say thank you yet. God, I'm awful.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Didn't realize that was such a loud package, but let's all get into
it. I think I was
this.
Embarrassed because I need to be better about souvenir giving. Oh my God, this is gorgeous.
Okay, so there's a whole division of their sunscreens that they call cut sprays that spray like an aerosol hairspray. Mm-hmm. So it's like a face mist or like an Evian Brumister kind of mist, but it's sunscreen. There you go.
Oh, wow. This
so
is awesome.
I dug into the name because I'm like, why are they called cut sprays? I don't know if this is true. If anybody is Japanese or has more knowledge than me, I definitely want you to like tweet me or Instagram me at Jen_edit with two N's. But the very first of these aerosol sunscreens was from this brand Cosme, and their line was called Suncut. One word. It was just the brand name. Like, they do these English brand names that make no sense. But then I think a lot of people tagged onto that, a lot of other brands, and just started making cut sprays. Truly, it's just like an aerosolized sunscreen with, like, SPF 50, the equivalent of SPF 50. They don't use SPF. And you just mist it on your face, like, while you're out in the sun.
It's pretty cool. This beautiful. It's very like kind of Barbie-ish. Has this pink cap.
Yeah, and they put them on their hair too. So imagine you're at the beach and you're like, ugh, I don't want to put sunscreen on again. You're just misting. So that's a cut spray.
It's a little like powdery smelling. It honestly, you know what?
I got like you the girly one.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny.
Like it. I really like it. It's very feminine. Doesn't give me any of these like sport vibes that a lot of the you know SPFs give me. Love the aesthetic. I do like a cream SPF. I think this is more for on the go.
It's like a touch-up product.
Yeah, this is great for the touch-up. I'm not going to bring my pot of SPF cream, which I use in the morning, throw it in my bag. This is much more versatile. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome. I predict already L'Oreal's doing one in Europe, and there's one from Biore. I predict we're going to see these, if not this summer, next summer here in the States from brands that are able to aerosolize, because I think there's a way to encapsulate the sunscreen ingredients we do use that they'll work in that format.
So I hope they give them a new name, though. I don't like cut spray.
Well, that's the thing, though. It might be like a BB cream where like the name is sort of part of the fun of like, ooh, we imported it from Asia, you know? Cut spray is bad, though. Okay, yeah. I have a million other things for you.
You got another one?
What?
You got another thing?
Yeah, I'll give you the rest later, but the only other one I thought our listeners would also be into is this, the hot bath.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so they love a bath soak in Japan. And so these are, you pour them into your bath, and it makes you start sweating internally. It heats up your body temperature. The thinking is like, okay, this revs your metabolism. It helps if you're sick. It doesn't make the water feels a little bit hotter, but you see there's degrees on there. I don't know. That one's all in Japanese.
It also has like a like sweating devil redhead demon on it.
Well, so. I got you like the hot one.
Yeah, it looks like me.
We should take a picture of this stuff for the Instagram. So basically what they are, though, is either ginger or capsicum, which is the ingredient that makes hot peppers hot, and that's in the water. So I got them for all the girls at work.
Yeah.
And of course, Taylor, our assistant, said the exact same thing what I said. Let's see.
Does it make your bits hurt?
We were both like, what about your lady parts?
Yeah.
Are they going to start burning?
Yeah. What if like you just shaved?
I think of it as almost like a eucalyptus-y feeling or a menthol feeling. It doesn't hurt, but like, be careful. You know what? I'm going to put it out there. Ask your doctor before soaking in a capsicum-filled bath of Japanese questionable bath salts.
Yeah, I'm not actually so sure about this. Like, I'm
this
very
one
sensitive
is not gonna,
around there.
This is not going to get come stateside.
Yeah, this girl has
I'm predicting
got,
that.
Her hair is on fire. She's got a torch.
Yeah, no.
And she looks like
it's like that hot eye mask
demonic.
They're trying to do now for digital strain. Yeah. And everybody in America is like, I just want to be cool. Like, I don't want a hot. I don't know if
this is
going to do it.
This is also, I can't read Japanese, but I'm positive this is a caution label. I'm positive that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture of this. I'm going to put this on our like Instagram story or Twitter or something. And our Japanese friends, please tell me what this says. But I'm sure it says like if you just shaved or had a baby, like don't get in this thing. Or if you want to have a baby faster.
Or if you just never want to have a baby. It's like the new birth control. Take a bath in this and on your lady bits
it's
are like Anyway, so those are two big things I saw and the trends I told you about. It was a fun trip, but I'm glad to be back with
yes.
you.
Oh, I'm glad you're back, Jen. Always bringing the fun. Jen, does it feel like they're just giving makeup lines away these days?
You didn't know I have one. I have a contract in the works.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, a little bit. Everybody's got a collab. Like, yeah.
Jess Matlin, X, you know, Rimmel.
Yeah.
Jen Goldstein, X. Ooh, who would we pair you with? Let's see. Well, that'd be fun. Anyway, literally, like, my super is getting a collab.
What's his friend? No, okay. Who's got one now that's giving you?
Well, there's one I don't hate right now.
Oh, good. Who?
I know. Imagine. Gigi Hadid.
Oh, is it Gigi?
Gigi.
I always say Gigi.
Who needs to say those two hard
G's? Gigi? Gigi Hadid?
Jiggy? Like Jiggy from Vanderpump Rules and
you're talking
Real Housewives?
About, yeah.
Oh, you're not a big Housewives person. I always forget. No, she has a collab, whatever, with Maybelline New York. And I have to say, they came yesterday to my office. Erin Parsons, her personal makeup artist. Mm-hmm. She's also a big-time makeup artist. And the folks from Maybelline. And I wouldn't let them leave. Oh. I was screaming in my office with each new piece they were showing me. Maybelline.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited about I'm not a snob, but like a mass drugstore brand. Like yeah. If I could just wear this stuff for the foreseeable future, I think I'd be happy. It was really, really nice. Like everything feels great in the face. I'm wearing almost all Maybelline right now. How's
really?
My makeup
and
today?
I was thinking your eyes were looking really good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm wearing. And also just like all the colors are great. The packaging is great. Okay, so I'm just going to bring a
I'm
few choice
Fenty
pieces.
I'm getting Puma vibes.
I was going to say that too, mm-hmm. I didn't want to like take away from what they've done.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
Okay, so when you say Fenty Puma, why don't you tell the audience why you're getting that? Because they might not be able to.
A mattified beige mauve pink shade and like modern like. I don't know. It's also the texture. It looks...
Yeah, it's almost like a suede...
Suede pink.
A suede
beige
pink.
Beige pink. Mm-hmm. Packaging.
And just feels very, like, clean.
Yeah.
So there's two... First of all, this is available right now, which is exciting. So you don't have to wait. I'm not teasing you guys. It's available
Yeah, some
at
of it sold
Ulta.
Out. A couple things sold out, too. There was like
oh, really?
A, yeah. The online
Ulta.com, yeah. But it's going to be at Ulta Beauty beginning, like the stores beginning November 5th. Now, there's two different collections. There's the East Coast collection and there's the West Coast collection. Now, the East Coast collection is very like supermodel glam. So think like taupes, mauves. I was talking to Erin and I thought she made a very astute point. We're going to be seeing a lot of those kind of contoury shades, like I'm saying the same words again, but like taupey, mauvey, sandy, like yeah. No
Can
shimmer.
Can I pause you for a second? Why is taupe pronounced taupe and mauve is mauve when they have the same vowels in there, A and U?
Are you
Continue.
Stoned?
That's taupe a
very
move.
Stoner question. Okay. And then like a beautiful liquid pen, you know, to give you that kind of supermodel flick. And then you use the beautiful taupey mauves, mauvey taupes to create a beautiful contour.
It's so, very East Coast.
Very East Coast. And like the imagery was like Gigi with the, with like a leather jacket.
Cool.
Now, it's weird. I'm responding to the West Coast colors, which is a series of red lips.
Yeah.
And then bronzy eyes. I'm wearing
say,
one of the red lips.
You have a coppery bronze eye and like almost a corally red lip.
And I haven't been doing red lips like in like 2 years. For some reason, I just haven't. But I got re-inspired and the formulas are gorgeous. They're really, they feel very light on the lips. I'm not going to name other brands, but a lot of lipsticks lately have a very creamy, heavy, pigmented feeling, and I really like that.
Yeah.
But this has been a nice reminder that you don't need a heavy lipstick to give you a lot of pigment.
Good point. And
they're named after her friends. Like, that one's Austin.
You're wearing Austin?
Yeah, I'm wearing Austin. It's Austin with a Y, because that apparently is her friend's name. This one's also really nice. I wore this yesterday. It's called care.
One swipe gave you the color payoff, but not that thick. Yeah, it doesn't
chunky, feel thick.
Mica loaded color payoff.
I was in a meeting and I was like, oh, my lipstick wore off, and I wanted to have like a red lip at the meeting. And then I looked in the reflection of something. I was like, oh no, it's still on. And these great little palettes,
pretty,
that have everything you need. So then there's this big chunky monkey palette called the Jet Setter, and that's a great one for travel. And that one is not crazy expensive. It's $29.99. But honestly, if you're going to buy one thing, like let's say you're overwhelmed with the whole collection, you're like, I love it all, I would just buy that guy, and you're good
to
go.
The big palette.
The big Mama Luga palette.
And the lipsticks, sorry to put you on the spot.
Sure.
About how much are those?
The lipsticks The lipsticks are $8.99.
So pretty much priced like the rest of their.
Yeah. There's also a fiber mascara, which is, you know, first Erin told me to do it. You put on the mascara first, like the regular bit, then the fibers, and then the mascara.
It's double
on top.
Ended.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are the fibers white or black?
They're kind of whitish, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was really impressed by this. You know,
I have not seen you get excited about a line or do like a little product review segment in a long time.
No, it has been a while, yeah. Right? I was literally like a lunatic in my office.
But look, you look
it's
good.
Great.
I like it. I'm into it.
Guys, check it out and let us know what you think. If you're wearing the line, maybe send us a photo. Tell me how you think about the lipstick. I'm wearing all the reds.
Everybody sing. They call me Mellow Yellow. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Jess, obviously you've heard of Millennial Pink, right?
What does it look like again? Are you kidding? That thing is everywhere.
Even the Gigi Hadid we just talked about is sort of a version of Millennial
Pink.
Yeah,
it's like a sandy Millennial Pink.
Well, forget Millennial Pink. It's over. It's dead to me. I'm moving on to, as is the industry, Gen Z Yellow.
Mm.
I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Actually, some other people are calling it too. But no, I swear to you, I could have predicted this one. You know how it's just like in the vibe? What's the Devil Wears Prada? And she's just like, here's where the trend started.
Is it like cerulean blue?
Yeah.
The cerulean blue,
and
like monologue.
You and I always make fun of when there's a color trend. This doesn't feel like it's just like a faddish color. It's like a movement is what a lot of these marketing executives are saying. I don't know about that. But there's multiple shades of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the buttercreamy pale yellow, you've been seeing that more too.
Yeah.
Like in advertising, I'm not talking about in makeup shades really, more in packaging and clothes and that kind of stuff. And then there's the saffrony, like more orangey, rich yellow tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, just like canary yellow. But they're saying this is the next big color.
Do you think, okay, I have a few thoughts. There's something kind of like retro. I mean, God, I feel like I'm in a college seminar thing right now where like I'm overthinking everything and like gonna bring it to too many references, but there's something that's a little peace, love, happiness about it, and you know, peaceful, but it also feels a little like 60s, 70s. It feels a little gender fluid. It feels gentle. Like I would never say like now is the time for tomato hardcore like FU red.
No. And you know what's funny? We were just this morning, we were listening to Isaac Mizrahi talk about his Revlon thing. Mm-hmm. And he said in the 60s, he wore like a pale yellow t-shirt. All the guys were wearing like a pale yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like peace and love.
He mentioned the show Family, one of the guys on the show.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
There was a show called Family. And one of the guys on the show, Willie, wore this like
yellow.
Kind of a marigold, yeah. You know, t-shirt, and he was very nostalgic for that. So
yeah.
I think A, there's the nostalgia factor.
Yes.
B, there's the gentle, like gender fluid aspect to it. Like you're not going to be thought of as like this big macho asshole, hashtag toxic masculinity, like with, you know, your marigold shirt.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of fashion because it's not as obvious as black. And it's not.
But it could be neutral.
Yeah, but and it's a neutral, very, yeah.
The paler totally yellow version of it. Yes, but the two things I came up with are sort of opposite for my reasoning. One was freaking emojis.
Oh, my God.
Like the skin color on them, the faces, everything. This digital native Gen Z generation is like surrounded by yellow. It's seeping into their subconscious.
I didn't even think of the emojis.
This other one is, you know, it all goes back to Beyonce for me. I'm telling you, in that hold up video, what is it, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
She wore that saffron, I think it was Roberto Cavalli dress when she swung that bat. And I was like, ooh, maybe I can wear yellow. Now, I'm olive skin, and I think yellow looks horrible on me. But, like, it got me thinking.
Also, no, you're not wrong. I'm just jumping to another reference point, not nearly as – this is really fun, actually. At first, I was like, this is going to be really overwrought. This is actually a really fun game. Rihanna wore all yellow to her Fenty thing.
Yes. And didn't Debra Lipman do her nails in, like, a matchy match maybe we heard about? Or I'm making that up.
I don't know.
No, that was Lady Gaga with, like, a pale yellow nail when she came out of an egg.
We should – that was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, okay.
But it
trickles in, you know? And then there's, like, a tipping point. I think maybe we'll start to see it more. And, of course, people are going to write think pieces on it, and no one's going
to
read them.
We should talk to Tina from Tony and Tina to find out what yellow means.
Ooh, like our chakras and our color astrology. Ooh, could we have her on as a guest, maybe?
We should have her on as a guest.
Awesome.
But I might give her a little ding-a-ling and report back to you guys about yellow.
What's ding-a-ling?
Ding-a-ling, a phone call. You forgot how to use a phone? Oh my God.
Listen, I'm Gen Z. We don't talk on the phone.
I might give her a buzz. I might get her on the horn.
Give her a buzz, and all of our Fat Mascara listeners, go forth and share the word of Gen Z yellow and sound way cooler and ahead of things than your friends. You're welcome.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Guys, this one's gonna be real industry today. Real industry, real inside baseball. And if you're in the fashion or beauty world, you're going to want to listen up. This is expensive advice. This is, like, really expensive.
Priceless.
Chime in anytime you want, Daniel. We are with Daniel from Streeters. Now, I was just asking you before we started recording, what do we call you? I was gonna say you're an agent, but that feels so flat. You're an agent, though.
I'm an agent.
For Streeters, which is the biggest, like, fashion, beauty, in the
photography,
world.
Casting. We have movement directors, sound.
What the hell is a movement director?
So not every model can move, right?
Oh.
Or not every client knows how to really express how they want models to move, so there's somebody that can come in and interpret that.
That seems like a fake job, but okay. Is it like a dancer?
It's, or choreography more.
Okay, that's cool.
But I think I don't personally represent one of these artists, but I think they come from different backgrounds, and some are more traditionally in dance and some are more...
That's actually really cool. You know what? Dancers need jobs, so that's freaking awesome that there's something called a movement director.
Definitely. I mean, there's this guy, Stephen Galloway.
You're looking at
Inez
me like
Vinood. He's
oh,
like,
wow.
He's,
wait, Inez and Vinood have a movement director?
Well, they work, yeah, they work with somebody.
I thought that they would be the movement directors. Like, they would be the ones.
Wait, I mean, can I pause us to give background on what an agency is? Just for, like, people who are listening. I picture my mom
right
being so confused right now.
No, but I mean, but this is what I'm saying.
An agency
is the
like
key to the freaking fashion and beauty world.
Right.
I
so
mean,
when you have a photo shoot for an advertising or a magazine, all the people that are on set, the photographer, makeup artist, hairstylist, movement director.
Have an
they
agent.
They need to be hired by someone who represents them, which is an agent, which is Daniel. My mom's all caught up to speed now. Continue.
And
okay.
An
thanks,
agent,
Jen.
An agent can be, I mean, athletes have agents, artists have agents. In our fashion world, the artists within the fashion industry have agents. So
you're like the Jerry Maguire of the fashion and beauty world.
I just watched that movie with my wife and my mother-in-law, and I said, like, that's pretty much what I do, but not for
show
for
Daniel
athletes.
The money.
Yes.
Wow.
Baller.
Okay, so wait, how did you get into this crazy gig?
So I actually entered into the world through photography, the fashion world through photography in California where I grew up in L.A. And I was assisting photographers in L.A. and then met a photographer based in New York. He got me to move here 13 years ago. I worked with him for a few more years, worked for a couple other photographers, and had a friend that needed some help with production, and all of a sudden I was like started helping him out with that.
And realized what does that
this
mean, production?
Idea. So a photographer or a client or somebody is organizing a photo shoot, typically a photographer or a client or a magazine. And they need somebody to put all those pieces together from hair, makeup, styling, catering, location, and everything in between if there's travel involved or hotels and all the elements to accomplish a photo shoot.
To produce. Yes.
And so through my years of assisting, also had a lot of insight towards what was happening with the production and working with this one photographer particularly that did large travel shoots, but not with a large crew. So there were a lot of logistics, but I learned a lot from really being one of the few people that was with him that had to do all of these production elements. So then through that, I got a job at an agency that was just starting out. They needed an agent and a producer to help with them. So I started with them. They were based out of a photo studio in the East Village and worked with them for a few years. And then I got a job at Management Artist doing like straight photo production. But it was interesting to move over to that from more or less being an agent, but it was a junior agency. Mm-hmm. So then moving to a larger agency, Management Artist has some of the more well-known artists in the fashion and beauty world as well.
So you're at the
like
big boys
a Streeters,
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was with them for a couple years producing for 8 very well-established photographers, and through that met even more people, and through a casting director that was represented at Streeters, he had recommended me for an open position there to do agent and production work. So yeah, 5 years ago I joined them.
So who do you represent now at this agency?
I have 5 stylists that I represent.
Like fashion stylists.
Fashion stylist, 1 hairstylist, and a set designer. But in my 5 years there, it's been a variety of hair, makeup, styling, and casting and photography.
So what does, you know, we made the kind of like analogy to Jerry Maguire, but like what does an agent in the fashion and beauty world do? I mean, I picture a lot of yelling on the phone.
I think
but,
there
know,
really are
really?
Quite a few types of agents. And now that I've worked with different agencies and different agents and different producers and different artists, there's definitely a variety of ways of working with somebody. For me at this point, the artists that I work with and the artists that I'm looking out to want to work with in the world that are out there. It's somebody that I can really, you know, it's not, you don't want to be best friends with them, but you want to be friendly with them, but not too friendly. It's like really this balance where you see eye to eye and you can communicate everything openly and make decisions together.
Now, what happens if something goes wrong? Like you set up a client, you're one of your stylists on a shoot and it doesn't go well and client's not happy. they don't tell the person there on set. They probably call you, right?
Of course.
So how do you know who's going to be good on set and behaving? And how is it,
honestly,
how should you behave on set? What's like what's something bad that someone, a young budding makeup or hairstylist could do that's going to give them a bad name in the industry, for example?
There's always like
you
this
feel free
fine
to use
line.
An example from
yeah,
your own
no,
life
I mean,
of
this
a dirty
is,
thing
this
that somebody
is not,
did.
It's not that specific. It's more, I mean, it is specific, but I'm not going to specifically say it about anybody because it
sure.
happens to everybody, I think, along the way. But there's this delicate balance in our world, I think, of being present but not overstepping. And it's like you want to impose what you want to impose your vision on to the client or into the shoot, but at the same time, you don't want to overdo it. So I think at some point in time, every artist will overstep that line, and you're going to get that call that, like, they were complaining or bitching about this, or they weren't happy with the model, and that will happen. But it's like that balance of learning how to talk to a client and express that in a better way than not, or call your agent and have your agent find out, you know, find a way to communicate that back to the client and not put you into that fire. So
yeah, it's a weird position. I've been on set where you'll get a call from an agent and they'll be like, the model doesn't want to wear this clothing. And I'm like, she's standing right in front of me. Why isn't she telling me directly? She'll go to the other room, call her agent. Then the agent calls me.
Yes.
Then I have to go back to the model and be like, oh, you don't like the shoes? It's like a weird circle. How come that happens?
They don't want to be the bad guy, right? So the
right.
model's on set and she doesn't want to say, oh, you know, it's 6 o'clock, we're done. So she'll text her agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have me on set and it's 6 o'clock. And then the agent mm-hmm. will call the producer and then the producer will call the photographer or come if they're already on set, then they'll have to go tap the photographer on the shoulder and say, like, oh, they want to leave. Then the photographer will go back to the model and say, oh, it's, you know, we heard that you're tired. Do you want to take a little break? And like, oh, no, no, I'm fine. Let's keep shooting. It's like, really?
I feel like there are so many unwritten rules. And, you know, it's funny you're saying you want to you want to show that you have a vision. So you have to express yourself, but not too much. And I mean, can't so much of this, I'm thinking for someone listening who's let's say a makeup artist or a hairstylist, does it go without saying that so much of this is going to vary client to client
yes.
or editor to editor? I don't
of
want
course.
Someone to think that there is this metric of, oh, you want to be at a point 2.5 the whole time. Like,
no, I think that was sort of a
case.
Yeah.
But I think your point is that you just, a lot of this is like, it's a delicate
equilibrium. And rather than say that as like something bad that happened on set or how somebody can act, I mean, it can go to that place if people are not respectful of each other. But I think that the point of what we're saying is that the more experience you get, the more you're on set with different types of people, the more you're looking through magazines and looking online and seeing content and really paying attention to who's doing what, you'll already go on to set with a better understanding of what you're getting into. So
right.
if you know I'm working with so-and-so photographer tomorrow and the stylist, like, it would be nice if you looked at their work a little bit before.
Do your
homework. And yeah, I mean, if a client is coming to myself for one of my artists, immediately it's like, okay, if it's a magazine, what's this magazine? Who else is shooting? Who else is styling? Who else is generally contributing? What models mm-hmm. are they working with? And to really understand, okay, you know, generally there's great names associated to this. We haven't worked with them, but it all sort of adds up that you should do this. That's one way of taking that information, but it's also then, if you know that this photographer tends to work with a makeup artist that can really do a crazy eye or a crazy lip, then don't be so afraid to do that on set. Maybe mm-hmm. that's not the one to pull back and be 2.5, like go all the way
right,
there. So,
right.
but you wouldn't know that unless you did your homework, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. unless you really saw what these people are working on, or if you see they're working on edgier publications, or, you know, there's always a way to judge that. But without really digging deep, it's like there's so many people that want to be in our industry and at a certain level that
yeah.
I don't think yeah. really do the homework and get into it to really understand what they want out of it as well. So,
what's like your worst nightmare as an agent?
Missing flights is never fun. Knock on wood, like,
let's not even put that out there.
Nobody's traveling right now. It's okay. But And somehow those always seem to like come in multiples. Like in the same day, I had three artists that were in different cities, all missing flights or supposedly. Oh. And I've worked with people that really freak out in that moment, and I always try to stay calm. And in this case, each and every one of them got on their plane and everything was fine. Like,
you're like a psychiatrist.
They're calling me like, yeah, oh my God, yeah, I'm definitely missing this plane. Like, I'm called the travel agent. I missed the plane. I'm like, they were traveling with family. Like, I missed it. It's not happening. And I said, well, you have a client in New York tomorrow. You're on the East Coast. And if you fly in the morning, you're not going to make this client. And the client already like moved dates for you. Oh, and it was this and that. And I just like, we hung up. I took a deep breath. Like 30 minutes later, I got the call. Okay, we're in our seats. Like, and really though, I feel like so much of what we do is like, you have to like let this sit for a second. I mean, some people really like to react all the time. And I feel like, sure, that kind of can work sometimes. But really, like, unless it needs to happen in the next 5 minutes, if it needs to even happen the next day, give it a moment to like settle in. And I feel like with any production, like if you try to rush through it or freak out or, you know, compensate and put somebody else in the place, like oftentimes you'll have people that are freaking out, we don't have availability on somebody, and then they book somebody that they didn't really want, and the last minute it's like, oh, so-and-so's available for your shoot, and then you either cancel on that other person, which isn't a nice thing to do, or you make a sacrifice and you don't book the one you really wanted, and you get stuck working with somebody that was just available. So
how do you stay so calm? Like, what's your calm trick?
I grew up in California.
Yeah, you are very like calm. Remember I said to you when I first met you?
I'm like the most New Yorker, I think.
I asked you where you're from. We were like eating dinner and you're like yes, you're just in California. I was like, I know it.
I see him like, if you were skating through the streets and then I picture us like getting hit by traffic every time we leave the podcast studio. It's God. Like, I, it's like dodge it. It's like Froggert. And we're both like,
I like stand at the corner of Hudson and Van Damme and I'm like, and it's just like a stoplight.
Just flinching. Yeah. You do seem very chill.
But so, you know what, when you've seen it all happen quite a bit, it's, you know that things work out. Like more often than not, things have always worked out and it's not like I'm left with things falling apart. Like there's always a way and it will work out.
Jess is getting married. Can you come produce it?
Yes.
I feel like that's who you want around you.
Oh my God.
Kind of. I've thought about that actually.
That could be your next career.
But also like maybe wedding singing too.
No. Ooh.
I would totally book you for both.
Wedding singer. I feel like it was played by Adam Sandler maybe.
No, he wasn't a skateboarder.
Sorry, guys.
Like, he didn't skate.
Next question. What's the advice you feel like you give again and again to budding artists?
I mean, I feel like really people just throw out this idea that they want to do certain things without really knowing what that means. And
can you be more specific?
Yes. So, like, again, I've used, like, the Vogues and these kind of mainstream outlets that people want to be a part of, but I think they say it because it's so easy just to throw that out there because we all sort of know these names. But I think when you really start to ask somebody, what do you really want to do? It's not always that they really want that. That's just sort of what they think they want.
Yeah,
it sounds, that's, I want to work with the big names and I want to work with this person. But also to go back to the event that we had met at, Jess, a lot of these students that we were speaking with had noted that they wanted to work with, again, the Vogues and this type of world. But when you really started talking to them, they just really wanted to express themselves creatively, which I found to be more inspiring than anything, just to say, look, it's okay that you don't necessarily find your way into this magazine, but if you find a way to express yourself creatively, that's really the most important thing for you. And it sort of ended up getting broken down in that way that that's the most sincere thing you can do is work on your craft in your way. And people will notice that. So it's not always needing to be validated by a magazine or working with somebody that's a household name. You can work with people that also have a strong vision and want to collaborate with you.
So what are some of those unconventional ways that people are breaking in, if not, you know, going through the rigmarole to shoot for Vogue?
I think having a unique idea that you can develop on your own. I mean, nowadays, you know, I've met with this was already maybe a year ago. I met with a makeup artist. She does something very specific in the makeup world, does it very well, has probably close to a million followers at this point.
So maybe she only does drippy lips and she does them on Instagram and they look amazing.
Sure, something that's like this. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And I think that that's another way to consider, like, I think a handful of years ago, that would never have gotten traction because mm-hmm. you wouldn't have been able to get the exposure you'd want. Maybe you'd get a small little feature in a beauty magazine, but it wouldn't be this ongoing thing. And I think now if you do something well and you're out there and you live in the middle of nowhere, but you do it really well, people will see this. I mean, you can expose it. And there's different ways to do that through social media. But yeah, that is a little bit removed from my immediate world.
Like, sure, but people still in your world talk about, oh my God, yes, you see this person.
And they can get noticed by the big ones that are out there. So
yeah,
that type of, you know, if you do something really well specifically, you can get noticed by a bigger brand or a bigger makeup artist that wants to incorporate that in something that they're doing. So you can still find success within that moment. It might not be the traditional way, but I also think that with everything that's happening and the change and inevitably digital,
yeah,
you know, content, this type of change, again, you can look at this in a non-traditional way and still find your own success.
Like, you don't have to go and like assist Guido for 10 years and then...
No, but I think if you really want that, it's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And that for some people, that's the right way to go. But I don't mm-hmm. think that everybody has to do that.
Right.
So,
right. I remember talking, Daniel, to my parents just about like our world. And I remember telling them about like, yeah, well, you have to do this for free because, you know, it's like you get to work with, you know, like Pierre da 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 da. And they were like, working for free? Like, what kind of like crazy business is this? And I was like, but like, no, that's what you do. And editorial, you do so much for free for like the privilege of working with fabulous people. When does the madness stop?
It is such a fine line. Like, that moment is really tricky. And I've worked with and am friendly with quite a few. Now they're artists on their own and have recently left assisting, but they've worked with some of the top tier talent. And it's hard because, you know, you really have this sense that you're needed and you're wanted by this amazingly talented artist that it seems like they can't do what they do without you. Like, they need you there by their side. However, the reality is they will get another assistant at some point, and you will need to also advance your own career. If not, you'll just stay there and you'll be their assistant for 10 years. So it's a fine line, and it's a really hard decision to make. But I think also being relatively open with certain people in the industry that you might be friendly with to say, hey, like, can you help me assess where I'm at? Because I have seen people go a little bit too far, and then you have worked with somebody for almost 10 years, and it's going to be so hard to break away from being so-and-so's first assistant, you know? So again, some people are happy with that and some people will assist forever and maybe grow into like a studio manager position or their producer or their agent.
But assistants get paid, right?
Yes, but at different levels and different shoots. I mean, if you're a first assistant to a big person, you definitely are getting paid. But there's, you know, let's say during an editorial shoot that might have 8 talents to be shot in one day, and sure, the person has their first assistant, maybe they've hired a second assistant, but they really need 2 more hands, but the magazine is saying, well, we still have $0 to give you for those assistants. You might get 2 interns that are going to do that for free, and I think mm-hmm. that's great, because those 2 interns hopefully haven't had that opportunity, and this is their opportunity. But again, that moment, being an intern and making $5, and then being a third or second assistant and making a few more dollars, or being a first assistant, each moment along the way, you have to still ask yourself, should I stop working for free? I mean, the reality is you shouldn't do too much free work, really. And I think people take advantage of that. Something to justify your time is better than nothing. I mean, even if somebody wants to give you $50 or $100 for the day, I think it's better than continuing to work for free for too long. You know, to get in with somebody, I think it's fair, but then at some point you do need to draw the line, because you're giving away your service. You're diminishing the whole industry if you're continuing to do something for free.
How do we care for these curls that you have?
The curls?
These long curls, like
luscious curls.
Yeah. I've been told not to do this, but I wash and condition my hair every day.
As a curly person?
Yes.
Who told you not to do that?
People.
Like we
these
did.
My mother's
a hairdresser, actually.
Oh, okay.
Not a hair stylist, like not on set, but
right.
Yeah. So she's actually the only person to ever cut my hair in my whole life.
And what do you use to style your curls?
For my curls.
Yeah.
I got excited. I'm sorry. I saw product.
So in my hair, for years, I'd always used Potion 9, Sebastian.
Yeah. Oh,
classic.
And this stuff called Noodle Head, which mm-hmm. is like a curl cream. I have some nice PR friends and hairstylist friends and whatnot, so I definitely get some products at some point that I also like. What was the one I just mentioned to you?
You said Fido.
Yes, that one. There's a nice curl cream that they have.
Okay.
But the other stuff I tend to use, and that was like sort of... My mom had got me onto those too. She has the same hair.
Thank you for sharing, like, yeah. your behind the scenes look at how it really goes down at an agency. Yeah. Guess what it's time for? Time to raise a wand. Raise that wand, people.
I'm gonna raise a paw, Jen.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna raise a paw. You know, I think it's unfair that only humans should have soft, silky locks. I know, Jen.
Are you about to have a cat shampoo or something?
No.
Do cats get shampooed?
We'll get to that in a second.
I already have questions.
No.
Go.
Rachel, I love the idea that pets can have their own super chic luxe grooming routines. Have you seen some of the pet shampoos and like grooming things out there right now? It's pretty grim. But there is a new line out there called Kibble Pet.
Kibble?
Have you heard about it? Kibble Pet? There's a silky coat grooming conditioner. When I heard about this line, there's like, it's a whole line. It's basically like Fakai for dogs.
Okay.
Right, stop looking so distressed.
Okay.
Like, okay, it has no soaps, no toxins, no parabens. It's like a beautiful line for pets.
Okay.
So, guys, friends, close your ears. My dog-owning friends, not you.
Me.
Yeah, not you.
Yeah, I don't have small mouths.
I know how you feel. I smell a Christmas gift for them.
Oh,
a
okay.
Hanukkah gift.
Oh, okay. Which product are you raising wand toward? Just the line in general?
The line is pretty awesome, but one of my favorite things is the Silky Coat Light Leave-In Spray.
Is this pricey, though? Like,
it's not super
the
pricey.
The thing can't talk and thank you, so, like, am I going to spend money on it?
No, I mean, like, listen, like, there's a pack of wipes, $5 for 25.
What does a dog need a wipe for? You going to wipe its butt?
Are you high on crack? Dogs need wipes. They're going around the city. They're running in the dirt. Then they're going to jump on your
couch.
All
the dogs in New York have those damn little footy things
on. The booties?
Yeah.
Dogs get dirty. They go to the park. They go to the dog run. They're out
on
the
street. Then you hose them off, right?
Well, with your big garden hose in your
one
bedroom?
Oh, you're in New York City. Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Also, my only qualm is that this is like, so I have little cat wipes for Janetta.
Yeah.
They're called Allerpet. Okay. They're not very chic. They're just like, they get rid of some of the dander. I really would love Kibble Pet to expand into cats. So that's just a hot tip because the cat owning audience, we want to spend money. And this company, they also give to charity.
That's amazing. But like last time I saw your cat, it was licking the shit out of itself. So doesn't it groom itself?
Yes, they do. But the saliva, I'm so glad you asked, Jen. The saliva is actually where the allergens live. It's not in the fur. And then when the saliva hits the fur, that's why people start sneezing and get the watery eyes. It's not the fur. It's the proteins in the saliva.
But if you start wiping your cat down, is it still going to lick itself, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's why you need a good formula, like Allerpet. Like, it doesn't.
If you're allergic, so
right?
That, like,
right.
After your cat does its
own
grooming,
slightly allergic.
You can do a little like freshen up.
Yeah, and
to,
she
like,
loves she loves the Allerpet.
Oh, okay.
So Kibble Pet, I want you to get into that.
And I do too. So when I go over, I'm not allergic to Janetta.
Do you really get allergic to Janetta?
A little bit, but I love you and her, so it's fine.
Well, God, thank you, guys. If you want to like upgrade your doggy's routine, I suggest you look into Kibble Pet. It goes to a great cause, and also October is Adopt a Shelter Dog Month.
Jess, you really spoke to me last New Year's. Remember we made New Year's resolutions?
I'm scared.
And I was saying that I was going to put body lotion on.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about like something serious.
No.
Yes.
Okay. I made it all of to like March, not even.
Are you for real?
Yeah. It didn't get on board. But I have a new lotion that for some reason I am hashtag empties. And you know I don't finish any product. I think it's because it's not really scented. It has, sorry to do this, but it has the like feel of a creme de coeur, but isn't quite as heavy. Creme de coeur from Kiehl's, which is a very.
There's a creme de coeur light, but okay.
The funny thing I just noticed about it, by the way, the name of the lotion I'm raising a wand to is Lano Everywhere Multi Cream, which is at Ulta. Lano, okay. Like lanolin. It's made with lanolin. Yeah. If you have an allergy, you're not going to like this. It is Gen Z yellow.
Ooh.
I just realized how on trend I was. P.S. Kiehl's creme de coeur is also a pale yellow.
Yeah, since like forever.
Anyway, it soaks in so quickly. And I just found myself like not having ashy knees and elbows, which I always have and don't care because who cares about knees and elbows? But like not having them is nice.
Jen, everyone cares about knees and elbows.
Well, I kind of understand why now.
You know. You can't be looking geriatric.
No. So I've been using this and I was using it.
No offense to geriatrics.
I was using it when it was hot out too because I really don't like putting body lotion on when it's humid because I just feel like it just makes you sweatier for some reason. Okay. You know, like after the gym, you put on body lotion and like you sweat more for the next like 2 hours, it feels like. This does not do that. It's very rich but also breathable. So nice. Lano Everywhere Multi-Cream. I think it's like $22 for a big bottle, which is – it's, you know, it's a prestige lotion, but I really like it. So raise a wand.
Nice. Silky Jen. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.